for our Lord's Supper. We used to do this monthly. This year we're experimenting, we're trialing something, which means that it's not permanent, and we're going to be very keen to hear towards the end of the year your own feedback on how you found this, that instead of doing it monthly as a part of a service where we do bread and wine, four times a year we want to say, no, the sacrament is the service. This is at the core and the center of what the Lord's Supper Sunday is about. We want to elevate it. We want to say this is super rich and super beautiful and super powerful, right? We're going to follow for those four Lord's Suppers the steps of an evangelism course, actually. Sorry if that's religious language for you, called Taste and See, where four times we understand that food is meant to teach us something. Now, the Taste and See course is an evangelism course, not a Lord's Supper course, but I'm drawing from it, for those of you who are familiar with it, to see how the Lord's Supper teaches us the things that the course wants to teach us about who God is and what he's like. And so, that's where we're at today. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And I hope and I trust that it would reach, rather that God would reach our hearts in a unique, new, fresh, and powerful way through this wonderful gift that he gave us of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to just pray with us a one-line prayer that I hope will set our hearts, set our minds, and then we will then we'll dig in. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you yourself are the host of these tables and the gathering. It's you who call us into fellowship with you at your table. And I ask that you'd enable us now, enable us this morning as we gather to send something off that. Maybe for some of us, this is totally new, totally strange, totally different, and hardly sure of what's happening, and yet knowing inside of us there is a sense of someone at work, something at work, drawn to the beauty of this, drawn to your goodness, and maybe over time figuring out more details of what that is. For some of us, Lord, we've known you for a long time, that today may be the celebration of your goodness and your provision, and a reminder, just fixing our minds again on who you are. So you are present. Help us to sense your presence, know your presence in the room with us today, even as we are present with each other. We ask, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to read from the Bible now. I'm going to ask Sam if he can read for us. You can read along with Sam. We're going to read a couple of times from the Bible. I'm not going to preach a sermon as such. I'm going to say a few things, and then you're going to say a few things, and then and so on. So we're going to start with reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. So if you have a Bible at your table, or on your table, yeah, please, I will give you a minute just to find it and keep it open on your table. If you don't, that's okay. The words will be on the screen behind me. And so we're going to read Genesis. So it's the first book in the Bible, chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. Thanks, Sam.
Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day.
Great. Thank you, Sam. Okay, now I'm gonna I hope and I trust not unfairly so, maybe push you a little bit out of your comfort zone. I want you to just talk for 5 minutes around your table and look on your tables. You'll see in today's theme, we went for healthy, right? So I trust the food on your table is really healthy. We're going for produce. We're going for the fresh stuff, the good stuff, the stuff that Parents tell their kids there is no limit on this stuff that you see here. Eat as much as you want, when you want. Yes, it's that sort of stuff, right, that we look at and we say, but yeah, but this is the good stuff. Can I ask you to look at the good stuff on your table and perhaps just share, you don't have to talk, but maybe a couple of people around your table, just share, what does the food on your table show you about God? There's good food on your table. What does it tell us about God? And link it to some of the things you can see on your table. Be as specific as you want. Be as broad or generic as you want. Just chat around your tables. 5 minutes or so, and I'll call your attention again. Go for it. Eat the food while you talk about it. So dig in, please. Share, eat and snack and go for it while you talk. Great. Love the chatter. Maybe can someone just, not long, just yell out to me what's sort of the things that came out from some of your tables? Yes, Nara. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. How cool is that? So I'll pick up some of those things that, yes. The word that stood out from what you said for me is the word all. I mean, think here of God's goodness to humanity in what he made. It's a variety. This is not a stingy creator. I mean, God created people, right? Such a rich variety, such a wealth of things. Yes, water, what a great thing. I mean, it's good that they're on the table. It's on the table, isn't it? But what a good thing. You can't beat water. It's good for everything, everybody. And God gives it to us. It's just there. Now, I know it's complex, and we'll talk about unequal access to it and so on in later Lord's Suppers, but for now, in itself, what a great gift. Yeah, anything else? Yeah, Melinda. Yeah, how good's that? This doesn't taste good. It looks good. It actually, you know, and God, it's another thing about God is he loves beauty and creativity and beauty as he defines it, not as we define it or our culture defines it. But look at food. I mean, you've got to look at it in its rich variety as it grows in an ideal condition. And you go, yeah, actually, it looks good. It looks stunning. It's beautiful, the colors. Yes, yeah. Maybe one more. Yeah, Leanne. Oh, sorry, two more. Yeah, keep going. We're not on a strict timeline here. Leanne. Yep. So good. Yeah, God cares for individuals and their individual needs, and there's something for everybody. Yep. Even in your likes, isn't it? Even if you can eat something, you just don't like it, but you go, yeah, there's probably enough other things to eat. Yeah, so good. Thanks. Alice.
So these verses that we read come after God is just after God has made humans.
Mm.
And food is the first need that
yeah.
He addresses.
Yep. That's so good. So Alice is saying God makes people. And his first act of what they need to be cared for is food. And he goes, here you go. I give you every seed-bearing plant. They'll be yours. Yeah, so good. God cares. God knows. God is concerned with our basic needs. That's the kind of God that he is. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Last one. Naria, go for it. Yeah. How good is that? Yes. Who was that? I think it was Jonah. Yeah. Plant. Again, God cares. Jonah, you need food. You know, and I think Elijah is the other guy who flees in the desert and God... He's disturbed, he's distressed, he's anxious. And God says, just rest for a bit, I'll feed you. Alice's point, we need feeding. And you know, there's an offshoot lesson in this in terms of diet and eat and spirituality and so on, that God does care about us. He cares about you, he cares about what you eat, he cares about how what you eat affects you and desires well-being for us in terms of the good creation that he gave us. He is so, so good. And I think that's the point we want to make at this, that this table and this food is meant to teach us that he is good. He made us in a physical sense. He desires for us to be well, bodily well, and he provided for us everything we need. And I'm making assumptions here that we have access to it. I'm mindful we live in a culture where we largely have access to all this sort of stuff. Most of the world don't. And so we'll talk about that in future times. But for us, generally speaking, we do have access to the good food that God has created for us, right? So far, all of what we spoke about, though, has to do with the physical, right? We're talking about our bodies. Adam and Eve, God created them as humans, and he says, here, you eat. I provided food for you. I want us to switch gears now. I want Sam to read us two Bible verses for us. We're going to read from John chapter 6. We're first going to read verse 35. And then we're going to read in that same chapter verses 48 to 51. So John chapter 6, verse 35. And then also in chapter 6, verses 48 to 51. Again, the words will be behind me and in the back, so you can read along there. Thanks, Sam.
Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. And then verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Thank you, Sam. Okay, again, around your tables for me. Can you chat about, there's a shift here, right? There's a shift here from the physical to the spiritual. Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Now, bread in the Bible is often associated with an essential food type. It's probably one of the most ancient food types, if we really want to think about it, other than the fresh stuff that grows. That'd be a well worthwhile study, actually. How long has humanity known bread for? In some way, shape, or form, may not be the way we know it today, but I would say that it would be fairly ancient, right? And it's always been almost the most basic thing, because once scarcity kicks into human existence and the abundance of fruit and fresh food and vegetables disappears a bit, bread is kind of what we have. It's what God feeds his people in the desert. If you know the biblical story, it's kind of all they can have in the desert, because it's the only thing that'll last for a little bit. And he provides it so wonderfully to them. Even today, we know the humble sandwich is the most basic thing to tie you through, right? If you can't eat bread, that is, in one way, shape, or form. And Jesus then goes here and he says, I, now he's talking metaphor, I am the bread of life. I'm the basic necessity of spiritual life for each human being. And so my question here, and I'll add a little bit more to that later, is what do you think it means for you to be spiritually fed? Now, you may have no idea what I mean by this, because this is all new to you. Church, God, faith, spirituality, all new. That's totally cool. Don't think anything of it. Maybe just tune in and listen maybe to those sharing around your table about what they... The assumption I'm making here is that we know that we are spiritual beings as much as physical beings. We don't just need to be fed and nourished in our bodies regularly to be healthy and well. Our makeup as human beings is that we're also spiritual beings. We also have, some people call it spirits, some people would say a soul. And that too is a living thing. It needs to be fed. It needs to be nourished. It needs to be looked after. And just like in the physical sense, we can have good food and bad food, each with its own consequences. Spiritually speaking, we have good food and bad food, right? And so my question then is what does it mean for you? How are you spiritually fed? We looked at good food at our table that feeds us physically and makes us be well. How do we think spiritually? What's some of the spiritual good food that God wants us to eat? As much as that question makes sense, can you maybe just share a couple of things around your tables and get back to me? I'll leave 3 to 5 minutes. Go. Okay, I might give you one minute warning for the current conversation. while you guys were talking, I was shown this little creation that someone made. I think Melanda, you made it. And I should make sure it doesn't get destroyed, and it's a bit far away, but can anybody see what it is? It's a ladybird on a little sandwich that was made. What I like about this is there's little black dots. I'm not sure. They might be upside down. Ladybirds would be a treat. They look a lot more appetizing, don't they? But I don't, it's just a lovely symbolic, isn't it, what we just said? Food is beautiful. This is all healthy and it looks beautiful and it just comes together so nicely. It's so good. I feel bad to eat it. It doesn't feel right to actually eat it. But it does, I had one, another one. It's really good. All right. Yeah, 2 or 3 tables. Yep. How are you fed spiritually? Right? What's the good stuff that we need to feed spiritually? Chris goes first, then Rob. Yep. That's really cool. And that's why this kind of meal thing matters, right? And the together thing matters, is that I'm fed spiritually through and by others. Is a big way in which God feeds me. it's a team thing, right? And yeah, very, very good. Yeah, our fellowship, our togetherness with others is critical in how we're nourished spiritually. Yeah, great. Thanks, Chris. I'll go Rob first and then you do. Oh, yep, Rob. That's really good. So the Bible is what we believe God gave us, written down. We don't worship the Bible, but we believe God reveals himself to us through the Bible. He tells us who he is. And so for us to, for anyone who wants to be fed spiritually, to get into it one way or another, alone, reading it, learning what it is, how it works in groups. Yeah. That's really, really good. And worship too, isn't it? That's why we sing. It's why we praise. It's why we learn how to savor those sorts of things. Yeah, thank you. Very good. Guy, do you want to go? And then we'll... Yeah. How good's that? Yes, the wonderful sameness of all that. The consistency. There's one gospel across the world. It's the same kind of thing we encounter. Yes. Yes, Naria. That's good. Yeah, that's really cool, isn't it? I mean, that's such a solid thing Jesus says there in that verse. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. In other words, there's a spiritual food we need that'll enable us to live forever physically, spiritually, and now we get into that whole, into the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Which is that Jesus came to live as a perfect human being. He came to die, give his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of the sin of every human being, which is generic. All humans have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He was raised to life. He ascended to be with the Father. Poured out his spirit, and he says to each person who believes, believe that I've done this for you. Believe that it was necessary. Believe. And as you believe, you become something new. We've been there last week, and I start to live in you, and I plug you into myself, and I start nourishing your soul, your spirit, unto eternity. Right? Yes, you will still die at some point physically, but you will be raised again. And I'll put you in a new heavens, a new earth, without sin, without death, without mourning, without crying, without anything to do with sin, right? That promise. And so feed on that. Feed on me. It's this kind of feeding and nourishing that gets us there. And today as we celebrate then, which we're going to do, move into now, the little piece of bread and the cup of juice. Now I'm majoring today very much emphasizing on the bread as our nourishment and sustaining us to get to God's full plans and purposes for us. We are going to talk about the blood as well today, but that greater emphasis on this will come in later Lord's Suppers that we're going to do. So today, if I don't major so much on why did blood need to be spilled for this, right? Those are big questions. This is quite a serious sort of a thing, and we'll talk more about that later. For today, that's what it is. We do believe that our sins needed to be forgiven, and this is the way it needed to happen by God's design. But the bread, whoever eats this bread will live forever. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask that those who normally hand out the bread and the wine, please do so. If it goes around and you don't know what this part of it is about, and you just don't feel comfortable to do this, just let it go by you. This is a very safe environment to say, look, no, I want to think about this a bit more, all this kind of stuff, okay? So please don't feel pushed or pressured to do this. If you say, yeah, I do get this. I think I get enough of this at least to know what this is about. Then please, yeah, do grab a piece of bread and a cup of juice. If you are grabbing some, hold on to it, and I'll just take us through how we're going to do it. So, yeah, thank you, guys. For those who share this around, please do so now.
outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in.
Again, just hold on to your piece of bread and your cup of juice, and we'll take us through it in just a moment.
When all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. And these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you.
We covered everybody who, yep, we have. Great. Friends, living Jesus with us today proclaims this. He says that he is the living bread. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Take your piece of bread. Remember and believe that you will live forever if you believe in him. Let's eat together. And in a similar way, Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Take it, drink from it, remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was spilled for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. Let's drink together. I'm going to ask Jeremiah to please pray for us. So Sam, can you just get that microphone to Jeremiah? And when you're ready, Jeremiah, we'll pray together.
Thank you. I've been asked to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom is yours.
And the glory.
Now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeremiah. Thanks, everyone. In a moment, I'll invite the music team to come on up. And the first song that we're going to sing, can I ask you to pay attention to its lyrics? It teaches us a lot about the Lord's Supper, the bread and the juice thing. Wonderful lyrics to teach and to think and to nourish us. Other than that, when we're done, the kids will come out again. And please, Jeremiah may extend this invitation, but the invitation is very much there, and the expectation that we will I'll rush out of here. I'm going to grab a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. There's plenty of food. Let's hang around and enjoy each other, eat, drink, and hopefully we clean these tables up from all the food that's on it. All right, thanks, Alice. You guys can come on up.